Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
I'll be reading from Ephesians 1, 7 through 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded to award us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of fullness and of times he might gather together in all things, in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who's first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchase possession unto the price of his glory.
We've already read this passage, but I'd like for us as a congregation to read this together this month. This will be a passage that helps us focus our minds and our hearts on what it means to be in Christ. So if you would, let's say this together. Blessed be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. As you can already see, our theme for the year, and I think it's good to have a theme, something that we wrap our minds around and focus on, is simply in Him. And I think verse 3, as well as the verses that Don just read for us, remind us of the blessings of being in Him. And you can see that there'll be some things we discuss in our time together, in our worship time each month. You can see from the banners on either side. But also in our entire lives, we're going to be focusing on what does our life look like when we're truly in Him? What does that mean for us? Now, if you are like me, you have probably already had that experience that seems to come every year about this time. I understand the changing of the seasons, but I'm always a little surprised when it gets as cold as it is right now. It's just kind of a little jarring. And those of you who've lived up north probably sort of smile when you hear southerners talk about what it's like to be that cold. But there's something about it being cold outside that just makes the inside of a house that much more inviting. I always like coming home. I always like walking into the house. But there's something that makes it even more enjoyable when it's cold outside and it's going to be warm inside. You just want to get inside the house. You want to get inside that door. If you start fumbling with your keys a little bit and you're cold, you know the feeling of just thinking, I've got to get inside. I've just got to move past this point and get into where it's warm. You're wanting to escape the weather outside. A few months ago, I heard Phil Brookman, who is a minister in Oklahoma, describe what it was like to come home to Edmond, Oklahoma after being on a trip. And he discovered that while he'd been away, there had been some warnings about a tornado coming. And as he got home, someone called and said, this is really very serious. You need to take shelter. And so he loaded his family up in their car and they drove just a short distance away to where his father worked. His father worked in a big government building that had a basement, and his house did not have a basement, and so he thought that's where we'll be when the storm comes. But as he was driving, he realized the wind was picking up and the storm was closer than he thought it was. And he described what it was like to pull up to an intersection that is usually very busy in Edmond and to see the only other cars at the intersection were two of those storm chaser cars that go around. You've probably seen those before, so that's not a good sign. And then he looked to his left and he saw in the distance the tornado touch down. And then, of course, as you can imagine, he was very scared. And so he peeled there off the intersection. He was only less than a mile away from where they were trying to go. Once they got there, the gate was closed. Cell phones weren't working because power was down. And so he described what it was like to get out of the car and to start banging on the gate and yelling for them to let him in, which they did, and everything was fine. But you can imagine the intensity of wanting to get inside, of wanting to see what was inside, not because he cared what was on the other side of that door, but because he was trying to get away from the storm. And the point that he made that I think is a good one for us is that when we think about what it means to be in Christ, to be in Him, there are times when we're motivated to be in Christ because we want to get away from the consequences of being outside of Christ. In fact, many of us who were Christians, when we became a Christian, one of the driving motivations was, I don't want to live in eternity without the Lord. I want to be in Christ. I don't want the consequences that come from my sin. And by the way, that's a good reason. That's a good motivation. There's nothing wrong with thinking there are real consequences to what happens and I want to be in Christ. But also, the longer we're Christians and the more we develop, hopefully our motivation doesn't just stay in that one dimension, but it starts to expand. And so maybe you can picture a time when you wanted to get inside a house, to get through a door, because you cared about what was on the other side of that door. Maybe it was pulling up to a family's house over the holidays, Thanksgiving or Christmas, and you could see their house from afar off, and you remember pulling up in the driveway and getting out and running through the door, not because you were worried about what was outside, but because you wanted to get to the other side of that door. You wanted what was inside there. You wanted what family members would be there waiting for you. You wanted the memories that were going to come. That's what you were aiming at. I can remember coming back from a mission trip a few years ago. We had spent almost 18 days in Ukraine and in travel getting to and from Ukraine. So when we flew into the Nashville airport, I thought, you know, the nice spiritual thing to do at the end of a long trip like that would be to gather around as we got off the plane and have a prayer. And I can remember saying, all right, we're going to gather around. Let's all have a prayer. And then one of our team members, she said, all right, but hurry up. And I kind of was taken aback by that. But then it dawned on me. Catherine and I had been on that trip together. But she was waiting to see her family. And so no one was going to beat her to the luggage claim area so that she could see her family that was there. She desperately wanted to see who would be on the other side of that hallway, who'd be on the other side of that door. And so as we grow as Christians, not only are we concerned with escaping a life without Christ, but we're also concerned with the riches of a life that's in Christ. And so this year, we're going to be focusing on what's on the other side of that door. Why do we want to be in Christ? Reminding ourselves, if we've been Christians a long time, but if you haven't, pointing to some things that might be helpful for you spiritually. And Ephesians 1 is a great place to begin, because it's in this passage that Paul lists several things that we've already read. Blessings that are on the other side of that door. And for a few moments this morning, I'd like for us to reflect on those. The first we read as we start in verse 7, he says, in him we have redemption. Redemption is a powerful term. An Old Testament concept that's used several times to describe the Israelites' redemption and release from bondage. In the ancient world, it could be used to refer to a price that was paid for a prisoner of war, for a captive, for a debtor. And Paul here says God has paid the price of redemption. And so in the Old Covenant, when we read about the redemption of a slave or a prisoner of war, you're thinking of someone paying the price to the master. And yet Jesus here pays the price, and we might say, well, who is he paying that to? Who is he bargaining with over this? It may not be exactly the right way to look at it. After all, when God released the Israelites from Egypt, when he led them out of Egypt, that price that was paid, that work that God did, wasn't paying off Pharaoh or the Egyptians. God was providing what was necessary. Since our sin has separated us from God due to our own actions, God is simply providing what is necessary. In him, I have redemption. In him, I have the new lease on life that's offered when someone pays a price. So just like a prisoner, just like a slave receiving new life, that's what we receive in Christ. It changes our entire perspective. And only the sacrifice of Christ could do that. I like the way Leviticus 17 describes the power of the blood of a sacrifice. That sounds a little strange to us, but notice the way verse 11 says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement." There was an atoning power in the blood. In fact, Hebrews 9 and verse 22 would go on to say, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. The price of redemption is one that could only have been paid by Christ. In him, we have redemption. And as if that isn't powerful enough, Paul begins there and goes on to expand on what that redemption includes. The latter half of that verse, he says, "The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." We have redemption and we have grace. It's hard for us to comprehend the true power of grace, the magnitude of it. The fact that when Paul writes about the riches of grace that God has lavished on us, he's using language that would indicate there is going to be no end to God's ability to give grace. God doesn't have a limited amount that's only available to some. For those who are in him, for those who submit their will to his, God lavishes it on us. It's not an excuse to live differently. It's not an excuse not to be faithful. It's just a reminder that God is powerful enough to save us. Think about how difficult it is to forgive someone who's done something wrong to you. It's really hard. It's really a challenge, even when we want to forgive someone who has hurt us. And I'm not talking about someone who's just frustrated us once in a while. Someone who has really said something that cut us deeply. It's hard to forgive that person of one instance. That's human nature. We struggle with that. Think of the magnitude of being willing to forgive humanity. Being willing to forgive all kinds of people who have done all kinds of things against you. And it's that kind of grace that's available in him. It's powerful. And as Paul describes forgiveness and grace that's been lavished on us, this kind of word that it's not just doling it out little by little, but there is a giving nature in God. He also talks about the knowledge that we have. Specifically, he uses the word Paul uses several times, mystery, that God has made his mystery known to us. And this isn't a mystery that we would read about in a fiction book where nothing seems to make sense and we're wondering who did it. This is a plan that hasn't been revealed, that is now revealed to us. The mystery of the gospel is not just that Christ sent his son, but that even those who were outside of Israel, even those who were outside of God's chosen people, that all can be in him. What a powerful message. That Jesus died for all, so all have that opportunity. That knowledge is powerful. And the deeper I understand it, and the more fully I grasp it, the more I'll appreciate what God has done. Then he also talks about the inheritance we receive. As we continue reading, he says that in verse 11, we have obtained an inheritance. And he uses a word in verse 11, predestined. We've been predestined for this inheritance. There is a biblical use of that term, but we need to understand it in biblical terms. That as God sets forth his plan of salvation, that he has predestined that his people will be saved, that his people will receive an inheritance. That's what God has predestined. My choice is whether or not I want to be one of those people. So God isn't taking away my ability to choose. He's simply letting me know that he's predestined his people to receive this inheritance. I get to choose if I want to be part of that group. He would write to the church in Colossae, in Colossians 1 and verse 12, talking about the inheritance of the saints of light. And the word saints simply means Christians. We have an inheritance. And then lastly, he describes the fact that we have the Holy Spirit. There are other blessings that we see in this chapter, but I'd like for us just to reflect on the Spirit that's given. It's referred to in a couple of different ways. Once as a deposit, a guarantee of a future inheritance, a down payment on something that's coming, but also as a seal, that we've been sealed with the Spirit. That when I become a Christian, just as we read about in Acts chapter 2 and also in Acts chapter 5, that forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit are promised to those who become Christians. When I become a Christian, I am sealed with the Spirit. In the ancient world, seals would indicate authority, the authority of a king. They would indicate the protection of a king. They indicate ownership, that we belong to someone else. When I've been sealed with the Spirit, He is a deposit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a deposit of what's coming, of an eternal promise I can hold on to. The better I understand all of these blessings and others in Ephesians 1, the more I want to go through the door because what's on the other side? Because I care about what is in Him. And the better I understand it, the more I'm going to want to try to open the door for others and point them to the blessings that are inside. So for us as a congregation, what's on the other side of the door for us in 2018? I hope that you have picked up some of the calendars that are out in the foyer. Instead of being a full-size calendar, they're a list of big events and things we want to be planning for and to be thinking about and praying about. But there will be a lot of ways we're going to seek to grow spiritually and a lot of ways we're going to seek to share that growth with the community around us. As far as our sermon times go, we want to reflect on what it means to be in Him, and so we've chosen four books of the Bible this year. We want at the end of the year to have a better, more richer, deeper understanding of four specific books that will help us understand Christ. The first is the book of Genesis. That's where we see the plan laid out for us. That's where we see God's plan begin. Then the book of Matthew, which tells us about Christ. The book of Acts, which teaches about the church Christ established. And then the book of Revelation, which gives us a glimpse into the final victory in Christ. On Sunday mornings, for the most part, we're going to be focused on those books, seeking to grow in our understanding. On Sunday nights, we're going to be thinking about each of these topics you see on the banners out here, reflecting on how we can be in Him. But there's a lot to be excited about and to be praying about. And I'd like for us to spend some time thinking about a few of the things that you'll see on that calendar. And so I've asked our other ministers to come up and to help us, guide us through that. Chad will be talking about some of the things that will be coming up in our education ministry. Jonathan will give us a preview of some of our missions events. Jack will be talking about our senior adult ministry, and JD will share some exciting news for our youth ministry. So I'll ask these guys to come up, and one by one, they'll share with us some things we can pray for and we can look forward to in 2018. So, Jack?
We're excited about a number of things here at Graymere, and I just want to take a few moments to tell you a few of the things that I'll personally be involved with here at Graymere that are connected to the education ministry and not maybe connected to the education ministry. The first of all is obviously the teacher training. We're going to be providing a lot more opportunities this year for teacher training, especially in our pre-K and elementary. And we are hopeful that these opportunities will help us grow as teachers for potential to do different things, to do things easier, to do things in a more efficient manner. And it'll keep the lines of communication open just a little bit better between the ministry here and our teachers. Second is VBS. The dates for VBS this year, you'll see on the calendar, are June 24th through 27th. So make sure that you mark that on your calendar, circle it, block that off. And we're going to be asking for help from a lot of you, as we always do in VBS, and we love having you involved. We love doing that, and you've always come through, and it has been wonderful every single year. And it'll be Sunday evening through Wednesday evening this year, and our theme will be centered around a kind of a physical fitness theme. We'll be calling out a lot of you to help us with that, and it'll be a great week for us and for the kids, I think, and they will learn a lot. The third and final thing I'd like to talk to you about this morning is our new sensory room. And if you're not familiar with what a sensory room is, it's a room specifically set aside here at the building for those with special needs. They can go in there to calm down. They can go in there to, it's going to have subdued lighting. It's going to have a couple of different other activities and different things in that room as well. And the room is located right here in the educational foyer, right across down a few steps in the pre-K hallway, right across from the kitchen. And it's that first door on the right. And soon we're going to be repainting that. We're going to be putting a couple of things in there. We're going to be putting different lighting in there. And this is for children to go into this room maybe during class or during worship if they need to calm down. And obviously, my family directly benefits from that at this point. But we are looking at this as an extended ministry to families and to minister to families that come and move into this area so that they will be able to service their kids with special needs as well. And so we're really looking forward to having that room and to having that for our kids, for our special needs. And again, that's just a few things among many that we will be involved with this year. And I appreciate your support as the education minister here at Graymere. And I most of all appreciate the encouragement as we move forward in this new year. Thank you.
I'm excited about what's on the other side of the door for our mission works in this coming year. It seems like it was yesterday, but it was actually about 7 years ago that I came home to Graymere, and we were putting together plans for our mission works and where we wanted them to be and where we wanted to go and what we wanted to do. And it's just so exciting now to be able to see that we're reaching so many of those goals and being able to push further and do things that once we only dreamed about being able to do. We have mission works in, of course, you know, a lot of our mission work in Arizona. We've had visits from Josh Austin and Evan Totticini within the last 6 months. Both of them have been here. But within the last 3+ years, they've been working with the Salt River Church for about 3.5 years now. And we've seen them bounce back and forth from a need for workers to a need for facilities. And then they'll meet one of them, and then the other one will come to be of a greater need. But now we're at a point with that work where they've got the workers and they've got the facilities, and they're up going beyond the 70 number mark at most of their church services now. So that work is growing, and it's exciting to be able to see that. This coming year, we'll be taking a mission trip to Costa Rica here at the spring break that's coming up in April. Of course, in Costa Rica, we work with Tony Barbosa, and he's beginning his second year working with the Coronado Iglesia de Cristo. And so we're excited about that trip that's coming up. We've got about 56 people registered to go on that mission trip. I don't know how excited I am about keeping up with 56 people. I personally prefer about 30 people. But more people going means we can make a greater impact for that work. So we're excited about that. We'll be able to do a lot of work on their church building. This is a church that began, it's got an amazing beginning. The church he's working with, they didn't begin from American missionaries. They started themselves, a group of Christians located this area, and they said there needs to be a church here. So they planted the church themselves, and we'll be able to help them in building their church building and teaching VBS in orphanages and inviting people and hopefully being able to set up some Bible studies as well. In Peru, we recently had a visit from Juan Abanto, and he told us about the last 2 years of his work in planning a new church in an area called Pachacamac, and we're excited to be able to continue working with him. We were somewhat surprised in December when he was here, and he told us they were losing their meeting place, and we had to scramble a bit to have just a month to be able to help them find a new meeting place. But we've been able to do that and to secure a new rental facility for them for the coming year. And so it's exciting now to, as they see that church begin to grow, for us to start planning for the future for land and church buildings and all the things that we can partner with them to help them get the things that they need. And of course, our work in India remains steady and continues to push forward. We work primarily with Peter Solomon and the National Bible College there. As many of you know, Peter Solomon has been battling cancer, And we're just extremely happy to say that he's just doing phenomenal, just doing a great job with his treatments, and continues to be very active and making trips. And he says he can't explain it, but he feels just extremely well and continues to be active in that work. And the National Bible College continues to train preachers, and so many of the preachers that we're working with and churches that we're working with continue to push forward and with their work. John Vaughn and four others will be making a trip there next month to check up on all of those different activities. Some of you are familiar with the Tribal Children's Home that we support in India. The Children's Home is just on the cusp of opening up two new facilities, two new buildings that they've been building. One will house the boys and one will house the girls. One of the individuals that went with us to India last year just fell in love with that work, went home, and within the last year has raised about $60,000 to $70,000 in order to help them to be able to finish the construction of those facilities. So I'm excited about what's on the other side of the door for our mission work. I'm excited about all that this church is able to do in the area of missions.
Seniors, we are certainly excited about the activities that are coming up for 2018, and we hope that we can have a lot more involvement than what we've had in the past. We're certainly appreciative of the ones that have been participating in all of our senior activities. The first thing that we have this month is our annual breakfast. We call it our kickoff breakfast, which will be January the 12th, becoming this Friday at 7:30 in the morning. And I apologize for not having the sign-up sheet out before now, but we do need to have you to sign up either this morning, this evening, or by Wednesday evening so we can have a count as to how many is going to be there. And we certainly would encourage all of our seniors to come to that, and we'll be talking more about some of the things that will be taking place in the coming year. That morning, Kevin Thompson, one of our elders, will be speaking to the group after our breakfast, and he will be addressing the importance of seniors to the church family here at Graymere. And I know that each one of you would certainly be encouraged by the things that he has to say. And again, for those that are going to or plan to attend, if you could sign that sheet this morning, and it's free of charge, so that should help some. So please do that. And the second thing we got coming up, the big thing, is our annual Golden Age Banquet. And this is going to be February the 19th on a Monday. And so mark your calendar for that. And we're going to we're having some special entertainment that evening for that you certainly would not want to miss. So as soon as I get a sign-up sheet out for that, please make plans to sign that and be a part of that. In the coming year, we're going to do a lot more daytime trips. I know that it's a tough situation for some to be active in the things that the seniors do because it may be a little longer trip or something like that, but we're going to concentrate on things that we can do on a daytime basis, go maybe visit somewhere to eat a meal and then be back that afternoon. So hopefully that's going to make it to where that we can have more involvement from our seniors in that. So as I said, we're planning a lot of things this coming year. You'll be advised in more in detail as the year progresses. But for those that are active in the senior activity at this time, please talk to your fellow friends and so forth, and encourage them to be a part of that, because we're going to have something that is going to be available that everyone can participate in. Thank you.
In September, we had the opportunity to kick off and put together what we're calling our Graymere Student Leadership Team. This is a group of our young people that's opened up to anyone in our youth ministry, 9th through 12th at the moment. But it's for our young people who want to be involved in not only organizing and helping with the plans of our youth group, but also who are interested in praying for and encouraging and reaching out to their peers and to those outside of the church. And one of the questions that I asked them early on was, how do you want people to know, or how do you want people to think about the Graymere Student Ministry when they hear those words? What do you want to be known for? They came up with this, taken out of Romans chapter 12. We want to be known as those, a group of young people who lift up the Lord in worship and service while lifting up others in love. Because of that, one of the things that we're going to try to do this year, and it kind of was also born out of something that happened this past year, is we took a trip to Chattanooga with our mission trip with Jonathan and his leadership there. But we had the opportunity to work with some of the government housing in Chattanooga. And we started thinking about, what if we got involved with those areas of our community in Columbia? And so I'm so thankful and excited and ready to announce that this school year, around the end of February, middle end of February, we're going to start our own community outreach to those who are in our government housing projects in Columbia. We're going to call it Into the City Ministry. We're going to be doing things, or at least a thing, that people need to know about in Columbia, and that is, we're going to be teaching children about the name of Jesus. Every Wednesday night, beginning in February, we're going to start bringing in our children in this community to our building here, to our campus here. We're going to spend time with them in the Yak. We're going to eat with them. We're going to sing with them. We're going to pray with them. We're going to teach them the Bible, and we're going to teach them about Jesus. This is going to be something that is born out of our Graymere Student Ministry, but one of the things that we need you to know as adults is that we need your involvement as well. I'm going to have a sign-up sheet out here on our announcement ledge, whatever you want to call it, but we need people that are going to be able to help with snacks and preparation. We're going to need bus drivers. We're going to need teachers. We're going to need people who will act as mentors, and not only for our young people, but for also the children of the community. Every Wednesday night, we're going to have teams of our young people, along with adults who are interested, that will be teaching the children about the Bible and about the name of Jesus. I'm so excited about that. And that is going to be one of the main things that we're doing as we get ready and move towards the middle and end of February. Of course, we're going to continue to keep doing the things that we've been doing as a youth ministry. We love our times of growth together in our retreats. This coming weekend, we get to take a trip to Savannah, Tennessee for the annual Evangelism University. It is a weekend dedicated to reaching out to the lost and to our peers and to those who are around us. It's a wonderful trip, and it's, I hope, going to be a sort of springboard as we think about our Into the City ministry. We will continue to have our devotional times. We will continue to have all of the things that we've been doing, but I really ask for your prayers for this right now, the Into the City ministry. As we put it together, as we kick it off, as we think about the impact that the Lord can make through us in the community of Columbia. I'm going to ask that you sign up on the sign-up sheet after worship this morning. If you're interested in being a part of this, we're going to have our first meeting during our Bible class time on Wednesday night in the Yak. If you're just interested in hearing about it at all, obviously that will give us more time to talk about it and set it up, but we want you to be with us on Wednesday night. Please sign up so I can have numbers, but then join us Wednesday night as we begin kicking off and talking about the plans for our attempt and the Lord's blessing in reaching out to the community of Columbia.
I don't know about you, but there are a lot of reasons we have to be excited about what is coming and what God can do through us. I'm thankful to these guys for their leadership, to our elders for guidance, and let's just continue to pray for all these things. Another thing that you'll see on your calendar is our marriage workshop that will take place September 14th and 15th. Trey and Liam Morgan from Texas do a great job facilitating a workshop, and we want to give those resources and make them available to not only us, but to those in our community. So we'll look forward to that as well. What's on the other side of the door? I hope you've already seen there's a lot that's in store for us as a congregation that's good. But I also want us to ask personally, what's on the other side of the door for me? What am I going to be doing? One of the things Ephesians 1 has shown us is that God is the one who has taken action. It's God that has set all of this in motion. Our opportunity is to show the door in Him to others. So if you're here this morning and you haven't stepped across that threshold, you haven't become a child of God, that happens when you turn your life around, when you give it over and decide, I'm going to submit my will to His and live for Him. It happens when you confess Jesus is Lord, when you put Christ on in baptism. And Scripture tells us that's the point. You come into contact with His blood when you are in Him. And once you're in Him, then you'll have brothers and sisters in Christ who would love to help you on your journey. It may be that you need prayers. If you'd like to pray with a couple of our elders, you can do that right out this doorway after our worship service. Or it may be that you'd like to come forward publicly and have us remember you in prayer and encourage you. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing together.